and welcome to ABW Radio. My name's Jason. I'm going to be your host tonight. Hope you're all well. That was a frustrating and satisfying night at the same time. Well, let's get into it. To join me on tonight's show, I have Ellis Mel. Say hello, Ellis. Ellis?
Hey, can you hear me? Am I here? Help.
Yeah, you're there now.
Yeah, I've written that intro, didn't I? Hello, everyone.
What an intro.
I know, mate. Lovely.
You stumbled through the door like a drunk.
Well, much like me on Sunday night, but less of that, I suppose.
Good man. Also with me tonight, we have the one, the only. We have Danny, the GFP.
It's the Mezzo Show. Jace, can I tell you a little bit about one of my favourite players, Giovanni van Bronckhorst? He was born in Holland.
Right, okay, shut the hell up. We're going for a no swearing one tonight, guys.
Good
right,
luck.
Okay, in the chat box we have Stephen Edwards, Pablo Amar, Jove82, Rudy Rastlos, Abdul Farah, Joshua Page, J Rob, Stephen, I've said Stephen Edwards, but he's so good we'll name him twice. Lambs, Carlito Elguna, Loki73, who else? There was somebody else there, David Irvine, Oscar Arias, who else was there? There was somebody else. Oh, the Walrus and the Hedgehog. We do love the Walrus and the Hedgehog. Timmy Toby, A.N. And, oh, Jim Housen, as usual. Jim Housen's there. A stalwart. Oh, Daniel Cronin, Dan White. And I think that's about it. Matt Sanasi. Sorry, Matt, butchering your name there. I do apologise. So welcome to the chat box, guys. Good to have you on board. Ryan Cost, Chris Lodato, Mad Wired Sports, Jane Fitzgerald, K-Man Arsenal Forever, Ian Taylor, Kyle Palmer, Jasper Haynes, Boyo Tendayo, Mert Yigit. Hello, Mert. How the devil are you? That's about it. Yeah, I'll try to get to anybody else who's new on a little later. Oh, Sidhu 7549. He's come in with a late one. I like that. Oh, right. Guys, okay, straight to lineups. Full strength team and Mesut Ozil back. What did you think, Ellis?
Yeah, well, a surprise, but I was pleasantly surprised. Is there an echo?
Yes.
I have no idea.
Who's echoing?
Not me.
Is it me?
Stop now. That must have been Danny.
That was me.
It was me.
Yeah, it was me.
There we go. You're giving me a stick for my intro, and you go and do that to me. Some people.
Well, you know.
Anyway, yeah, I was pleasantly surprised at the lineup, really. I didn't think it would be as strong as it was, but I was quite happy. It was good to see Ozil back in. I thought maybe he wouldn't get a start and he'd only get a few minutes because he had that illness. But no, good to see him starting, and I was quite happy with the lineup and obviously really happy with the performance. But I don't know if we're going to come on to it, probably will, a bit about Lacazette coming off for half time. I don't know if that's a good indication that he may be rested for the Man United game and he might actually start a big game, but who knows? We'll have to wait and see.
We'll get to that in a bit, mate. We'll get to that in a bit. Clayton Maddox is in the chat box. KHM Hassan, Ryan Cost, IM Football. Hold up, there was somebody I missed. Benny Souths is in there. Mr. Ben Murphy, TC Fitness. Right, okay. Danny, I think it just proved how important 3 points were tonight. That team, what did you think?
Yeah, it's brilliant. That is our perfect lineup, although Xhaka did his best to try and show that he shouldn't be in that starting lineup. Because he was a bit of a tit in the first half, and I think he might have had a stiff talking to at half time. But it's the perfect lineup, and everybody was playing well up until about past the third minute. And then from the third minute to the 45th minute, it was like, let's give them a goal. Let's see if they can get them back in the game. Oh, bless them. Let's give them another chance.
I don't think he was alone there.
Not him. The whole team. Not to him. No, the whole team were almost the only one who was doing anything in the first half that I actually applauded was Ozil. Where he was actually tracking back with their fullbacks. I think it was on which way we shot right in the first half. So it had been their left back, and he was covering their left back, running back. And when he was running back, then normally he'd go back up into a dual 10 role. He was staying in the centre of midfield, and he was doing stuff in there. And I noticed that Xhaka made a run as soon as he was in there, because I think he maybe realised, hold on a sec, Xhaka's not having a really good half here. I'm going to go back and just stiffen up the central midfield. And he did a great job.
God, we'll get that now, mate. We'll get that now. Okay, we have Lossless, my 25. Norma Ott's back. Ian Taylor's there. David Dan. Tell you what, I'm enjoying the chat box.
I was talking to the Hedgehog earlier and the Walrus.
Yeah, I spoke to him last night. I had a message with him last night. Was it the day before? Okay, so, well, right, let's go straight to the opener because as soon as we kicked off, we scored. Ramsey with the back heel through to Lacazette, and what a great finish. Ellis. Doesn't get any better than that, does it?
No, it was about 4 minutes, wasn't it, before we got the goal. And I was on the way back from work, so I was in the car listening on the radio, and it was came up pretty quickly. And you always have that sort of lump in your throat when you hear, and there's a goal at the Emirates. You think, wait, is it going to be us? Is it? And luckily it was. And when I got home, the first thing I did was get on the Sky Sports app and have a look at the goal. And yeah, it was a really good, nice flick from Ramsey. We've seen him do it a lot, and sometimes me personally, I get frustrated when he does try it too often. It doesn't come off, but when it does come off, it does look good. And obviously, he plays that good back heel through to Lacazette, and he's just such a cool finisher, Lacazette, isn't he? And he slotted it away, and there you go. And that was the first opening goal, and I had a good feeling about it. Obviously, the second one took a little while longer to come, but you can't be much more happier than I was with that, really. I think, like I said, you can criticise Ramsey for doing it, but when it does come off, it looks good. And it was just nice to have
This is the thing. If you criticise people all the time for not trying things, they're never going to be brave, are they?
No, you're right. And that's what I do like about Aaron Ramsey. Like, he will try it, and he's never one to sort of drop his head, and he'll keep going at it. And you saw it today. He was involved, and he has been involved, not just in the games today, but for me, when I play fantasy football, I sit there, I look through who's popping up with the old goal and assist. And Ramsey, week in, week out, he hasn't had many blanks where he's either contributed to scoring a goal or an assist. So he is having a good season there. So that was a good assist from him for the Lacazette goal. And I'm pretty sure he got another one in one of the other goals you scored tonight as well.
Yeah, he did. Right, I'm sorry, if you're listening on iTunes or any other thing, I always mention the chat box, guys. These people contribute to the podcast and we just love them. So we have Marcel De Vick, we have Mr. Ben Murphy, we have Ryan Cost, David Durden, somebody I've missed there, Stephen Wright, Gordon Bennett, I do apologise.
Gordon Bennett's in there?
Tanks, 1, 2, 3, Pat Brady, Kevin LeBec. That's about it at the moment. MSM25 as well. Hello. Dan, what did you think of the opening goal, mate? I got to be honest here, I just thought, fair play, it was a killer start for us, wasn't it? It was just great.
I got a BBC News alert that somewhere in Wales, someone had fizzing nuts as soon as that goal went in. Yeah, I've put here Laka, Xhaka, Ramsey, Laka, beautiful goal. That was the kind of thing that's how you need to start a game off. Get them in, get straight in there, because Huddersfield are no mugs. They're a pretty decent team. Apart from away from home, they're not that fantastic. But I was just looking at some stats for our home. We have lost one in the last 24 home Premier League games. We've had 4 clean sheets in the last 5. And 8 out of the last home Premier League games, we've had clean sheets. And isn't there another stat with us, since we've been playing Mustafi Koscielny and Monreal, we haven't conceded a goal in nearly 2 years or something like that. It's not 2 years, is it? No, it's about 5 or 6 games. Well, maybe even less than that. But the goal was just fantastic. And that got the stadium going, and that got everybody ready, and that got everyone up for having a good time. And then I thought, here we go, we're going to watch it flow. If you'd have saw that first goal and you'd have said 5-0, you'd have gone, oh, magnificent game. And then, it wasn't.
Well, somebody predicted 4-0, and that French handsome git spoiled it.
I think someone actually predicted 5-0 in the group. Oh, you predicted 4-0, yeah.
Yeah, and Lacazette opening goal.
I predicted 5-0. I just forgot to message Danny because I was so busy at work. But that was definitely my prediction.
Carl picked 3-0. Raj picked 2-0. No, that wasn't it. Dom couldn't be bothered.
Look, it's all about me and I didn't win it. I'm not happy, okay? Right, Ellis. We then saw kind of We screwed a lot of opportunities up. Kolasinac took a wrong option on one run. Hector missed a runner. They had a chance check with a clearance. It was all us, but with Huddersfield working extremely hard. Were you confident at this point? You know, you're kind of 20 minutes in, we're having a go, we're looking really good. Sanchez had an effort blocked. You know, first 20 minutes, we just weren't ruthless, were we?
No, and like I said, I'd sort of listened to most of the first half on the radio, so they're sort of tuning in and out of the game, and I was trying to hear out and see what they were saying about Arsenal. And the commentator made a point that we looked like we were sort of one or two, three passes away from perhaps getting a goal, but we didn't have that killer instinct. And I just started to think to myself, oh God, please don't let us only win 1-0, or even worse, not win at all. Like the last couple of games, there hasn't been that much to talk about. And I thought, we just need to maybe get one more goal and then it should hopefully start flowing. And yeah, I was a bit worried, I'm not going to lie, but it's something you do sort of worry about Arsenal. Sometimes we take the foot off the gas a bit and we let teams come back in really when they haven't had a sniff. And it's something that you can't, it's always going to be on my back of mind when I'm listening or watching Arsenal play. But luckily today we did sort of, we had that spell, like you say, when we couldn't really create anything. But when it came into the second half, we were really ruthless and we properly took our chances. And like what the commentator said on the radio, we were just one or two good passes away from finishing it off. And that was obviously the case, especially with the second goal, which was a lovely flowing move.
Yeah. Pretty straightforward, really. Dan, there was a late challenge on Mustafi in the second half. With the guy, to be fair, there's no malice in it. He was late, but studs up on his ankle. Mustafi went down. No whistle, no free kick for it. You know, as I say, no malice. Were you a bit worried when he went down?
Yeah, because he was on the turn as he did it, and I thought he got the studs into the top of the arch of his foot. But I saw that a couple of times. I was watching it on a minimised window, so I didn't see a great view of it. But yeah, at first I thought, oh, but then when he was doing that, like you've banged your thumb with a hammer, then I thought, oh, yeah, he's going to be all right, because he's not going, oh my God, I'm going to die. So just like, oh, this fucking hurts, ow, ow, ow. So it was one of those. And as soon as I saw him acting like a girl, much like I do every time I hurt myself, I usually start laughing and crying when I'm in pain, which isn't very good. And yeah, I'd be a terrible footballer because I think I broke my leg every time I got injured. But yeah, it is a bit of a worry because he's only just come back. And this has happened a few times where we get a nice solid back three and then something happens to it. Someone gets injured, gets a knock or something like that. So gratefully, yeah, he was okay. And he got up and he ran around. He had some of the magic spray.
Yeah. He may be making the most of it. We had Kolasinac miss from a great chance where Lacazette worked really hard, came in, crossed the ball. The defender made a clearance. And Kolasinac reckons the defender got a foot to it. I'm not sure, it was coming at him pretty quickly. It wasn't easy, let's be honest. Everybody thinks these chances are easy. But what did you make of that miss? Was it good defending, Ellis, or was it just too awkward for him?
I think I didn't really want to credit the defender for Huddersfield. I thought it was just a bit, not a bad miss. I just think sometimes it's a bit hard to take. And at the end of the day, Kolasinac, he's a defender first. He's not known for that finishing. Perhaps if it was Lacazette on the end of it, I'd be a bit more aggrieved. But I think fair enough for a defender to miss that. And to be honest, both him and Bellerin, I thought they had a quiet game, but not in a bad way. Like I think sometimes when you are a fullback, a quiet game is not necessarily a bad thing. It means you're not putting much wrong. Like, fair enough, they might not be contributing that much going forward. Obviously, he does play a big part in probably the fifth goal. But yeah, at first I thought he was a bit quiet and not massively aggrieved. I think he could have done better. But at the end of the day, like, I think his main job and the defensive main job is to keep a clean sheet and just make sure that we don't concede. And as long as he's doing that, I can't really criticise him too much, to be honest.
No, that's fair enough. Dan, then we saw... we were caught in the corner, Lacazette. You know, we'd gotten sloppy at this point, though. And then we saw Lacazette taking his time over a clearance. I mean, fair play to the boy for being back there helping out the defence. But all of a sudden, we played ourselves into trouble. Really loose play. And we were saved by a Koscielny block. Nacho then lost the ball later. And we were saved by a Koscielny block. It was a great block from Koscielny. But we fell to pieces pretty quickly, really, didn't we?
Yeah, it was a little bit worrying. I mean, I did say, I mean, I put in the 22nd minute that I liked the way that Mustafi and Koz were both running the game from centre back. Both of them, I mean, at first I thought it was just Mustafi that was doing it. And he was going over there and he said to give the ball to Koscielny. Then went later on, a little bit later, Koscielny was shouting. So both of those two seemed to be running the centre back position at the same time. And I think if you've everyone has roughly got their zonal marking areas, and if you get someone like Laka who's running back trying to do it, he was taking over the right back role, wasn't he? And if you've got someone then in the middle of your zone, people are going, well, have you got him? Have I got him? And then then he made that that bit of a, well, it wasn't really a tackle, was it? But then the ball came in, and then it was at the one where Koz headed it out, and then they went, oh no, it's it might look like a penalty. Then you realise after, no, it wasn't. It was just Mustafi had stooped down the head of the ball away,
yeah.
And then the bloke had glided against him, and the bloke went down. So it wasn't a penalty, but this is a bit. Do you say to Lacazette, no, don't go and do any of that defensive stuff, especially when they're a team that aren't really going to score a goal from open play, and they're going to be looking for penalties and free kicks and stuff like that. So I think I would have to say to Lacazette, no, when you get in that position, no, just walk away and let the defenders do the defending.
I hoof it up first. Hoof it out of the danger zone
well,
first.
We don't do that, do we? Even our defenders don't rose it ever. We'd rather walk it out of defence, which is something that drives people nuts.
Yeah, it's a bit frustrating at times. I mean, the funny thing is we had kind of fallen to pieces a little bit. Well, not fallen to pieces, but we were dawdling on the ball, and it was right throughout the team as well. You know, we had Nacho giving the ball away, Hector, Ramsey, Xhaka, you know, even the boys up top are making sloppy passes. Steve made a point in the WhatsApp group that the pitch looked a bit cut up, and you could see it bobble a bit, but we kind of lost our composure, you know. Jove 82 is going, take care, Jove, all the best. You know, it was a bit of a frustrating time. On Huddersfield, Ellis, I listen to the Gunners Down Under whenever they podcast. Love the boys. I think they're great value for money. And they've been talking up for quite some time, a guy called Aaron Moy. I thought he played really well, as did Huddersfield in that first half. They worked really hard. They put a lot of pressure on us. What did you think of Huddersfield?
Yeah, I thought they did all right. I think probably their forward line that he had there, is it Mooney and I'm not sure the other two guys, the sort of the front three that he had, I think they could have done better. Like you said, we offered them chances and they probably didn't do as well as they could have. I think there were a few dodgy touches, or the odd first touch was a bit astray for him, and we managed to just sort of clear up any mistakes we had make. But I thought, obviously, they had a good showing for themselves, especially in the first half. Like, they didn't seem to deter too much from their game plan, even though they went a goal behind so early on, being 4 minutes in. They just seemed to sort of sit back, try and soak up the pressure from Arsenal, and then try a counter on them. And like I said, maybe if the front three had been a bit more better on the ball, we perhaps would have, or maybe if the front three is a different front three, a better team, maybe might punish us a bit more. But unfortunately for them, they didn't. And like I said, the front three probably would have done better. But like Moy, he's been a good player this season. He's popped up for the odd few goals for Huddersfield. But other than that, I'm not one to really pay much attention to some of those sort of clubs. But I thought they did all right. Obviously, it's going to look quite bad at the end of full time when it is a 5-0 thrashing. I'll probably put it in the media. But for them to only be 1-0 down at half time, they did all right for themselves.
Yeah, I thought they did butcher a couple of chances. But to be fair, yeah, when you look at the when you look at the amount of money spent on both squads, they kind of are where they are. They've done well this season. I thought they did quite well first half, especially after going down so early. On to the second half, Danny. And we're going to take a question early doors here, because at half-time there's a change. Olivier Giroud on for Lacazette. And it turns out he's got a groin strain, and apparently he's out for the United game. Gunnar Boyle asks, Lacazette injured thoughts? Just tell me what you think about that.
Well, we've had history of Welbeck playing against Man United and doing well. I think Welbeck looked magnificent tonight when he came on. He was really up for it. Him and Wilshere had a couple of really good combinations when they both came on. So I don't think it's much to worry about, because Wenger is going to end up taking Lacazette off at some point during the game. And I think tonight we showed that the game was going in one direction, and then as soon as we brought Giroud on, then you could see that the game changing. It wasn't. People seem to think that Lacazette is all about pace, and he's not. But he does have lots of dimensions to his game. But the Giroud, that's the battering ram. That's what we like to see. If we have to go old school Arsenal from the last two or three seasons, then we'll go that way, and it'll be all right. And if we have to play Welbeck up front, then Welbeck has a little bit of pace. He's good in the air. He's a decent player. So I think we've got a couple of decent options, and there's not much to worry about, because Man United, they're not really. They're not the team that on paper that they would look like, with the amount of fantastic players they've got there, and they'll end up playing Lukaku up front, and then they'll end up resorting to a playing Fellaini, because that's what he always does when things aren't going that way. So I'm not overly worried about it, but it's Man United, isn't it? It's like having the North London Derby. League position and form really are of no importance or relevance to the game when it comes to things like this, plus our magnificent home record. And yes, I'm not overly worried.
Let's hope so. Right, in the box, we have Aqib Alias. We love Aqib. Kevo Gunner. And there's an important one here. There's a really important one here. Shotlift 249, who is Mark Gunner Runner. Now, Mark Gunner Runner is running the London Marathon for charity. I do apologise, Mark. I think it's diabetes and eyesight related. Am I right, Danny? Yeah.
Kids with impaired vision, and Mark has type 1 diabetes, yet he still eats whatever he wants and runs all day long.
Yeah, so Mark's got type 1 diabetes, and he's running for a great charity with for children with impaired vision. I'm saying this now, I know a couple of us in the podcast have given to this cause, but guys, you know, if you have got a spare couple of pounds, please support Mark. You know, it's a great charity, okay? He's having a go, you know, it's kind of representing everything that's good about the Arsenal, you know, people just having a go and doing good things for good people. So please, please, please give him a go. You know, help him out.
Change, go and give it to Gunaholic. But Gunaholic has managed to beat his target, but Mark has still got another 800 quid left to go. Otherwise, he's going to have to pay for it himself.
Come on, guys, support him. Right.
Also, if you do the London Marathon, you don't just go, oh, I'll do that. No, you've got to pay to go in and do it. And if you don't, then you've got that spot and you've still got to pay for it. So, people go and sell a kidney or something.
Yeah, go on, guys. Please, please, please. You've got virgin money. Don't give what you can't afford, but you know, every couple of pound helps. Okay, we have Josh Egon May. I hope I haven't butchered that, Joshy. It's time to go, Evans, Omani, Chima. Let's have a look. Yeah, that's about it there. Right. Okay. So, that black guy's back. Oh, he's back. We love that black guy. He's superb. Ellis, we have Sanchez. Sanchez, great bit of skill, creates a chance, passes the ball to Ozil. Ozil takes two touches, blocked. Was that Ozil's worst moment in the game?
Considering that he was highly involved in probably three goals there, two assists and a goal, then probably is his worst part of the game. But can you really moan too much when he has had two assists and a goal? And he's in fine form, and I just love it. Obviously, the media the British media have got sort of a bias against Mesut Ozil, and every time he sort of gets a goal or has a good game like he did today, it just makes me smile a little bit, because I know it fucking rubs the media up the wrong way, and I just love it.
To be fair, he's answering his critics at the moment, especially after being ill on Sunday. Dan, we were sloppy again then. We gave the ball away, made a decent save. And then, funny enough, we were mourning about this on Sunday's radio show, but we don't counter often enough. We had a counter-attack. We had a fantastic counter-attack, which ended up with Bellerin opening his legs down the right-hand side, crossing for Ollie, and the shot was blocked. Nice to see it.
It is. That was the 50th minute, because I put very good counter-attack. Ball into Giroud, defender clears for a corner. And I thought, oh, no, Giroud isn't warmed up properly. He's mistouched that when he hasn't. He'd done really well to get that. But that counter-attacking football, that's just another thing that we need to have, because teams like Man United, that's how they play, on the counter-attack. And if we can do some counter-attacking football, then that's going to put the shits up. Then, like, normally we play nice, attractive football. And if we play the likes of, Liverpool, who do like to play attacking football, then there's usually, well, apart from the first game of the season, there's it's a good game. So, yeah, that is good to see, because at 1-0 down, you're going to be thinking, oh, are we going to start going for the tentative 1-0 and try and defend that and keep the lead? Because for the best part of what an entire half, if you're like 45 minutes, we'd struggled, and it looks like Huddersfield could. I actually tweeted, is that are we waiting for Huddersfield to score before we fucking get on with it? Or did I something like that anyway? So, yeah, it's really good to see.
Yeah, I really enjoyed watching that. I like Hector a lot. I don't want to give
him behind it all, wasn't he?
Well, he's in the middle of everything today, to be fair. Right, in the chat box, we have Carl's Mount, J. Rob, Dean Stanley. That's your mate, isn't it?
I asked him about Everton. I said, how's it going to Everton? He went, it's fucking terrible. He said he's had enough of it. He's got Big Sam. But really, that trick, eh? Oh.
Okay, let's not talk about them. And we got Fly KJ, Taylor Lip, and we have the one and all only Dom Nusk. How are you, Dom? How the devil? He's in New York on the weekend. New York's only just recovering. God help them all. Let's get to it, boys, because all of a sudden the game just... There were a couple of chances for Huddersfield, and then the game exploded. There was a Kolasinac to Ozil into Alexis on the 1-2. Great cross. Ollie Giroud scores. Lovely bit of interplay. Fantastic goal. Ellis, thoughts?
Just a lovely goal to watch. Really. Like you mentioned, Ozil plays a couple of 1-2s in there and just basically lays it on a plate to Giroud. And it's just one of those goals that Arsenal are quite well known for. I know there's been talks about sort of losing our identity and not perhaps playing those sort of free-flowing goals that we've been used to. But every now and again, we will pop up with one. And I think today was one of those ones. And it just shows you how good we can play. One, we're firing on all cylinders. One, Mesut Ozil was playing the way he can play. And it's just, I think Giroud missed this complete sitter just before that, and everyone's sort of given a bit of stick. And then obviously you can't miss this one. Ozil was literally put it on the plate for him there. But yeah, it's a lovely bit of play, and we'll probably talk more about Ozil because he's involved in a couple more goals as well. But yeah, just one of those ones that I think I'll remember this season. It'll be in my top 10, I think, unless we get anything mental.
Well, let's hope we score better goals than that, mate. It was a lovely goal, it really was, but I think we're capable of doing more. Dan, then literally, well, a minute later or whatever, there was a really good ball from Ramsey down to set Ozil free. A fantastic cross from Ozil. I mean, at this time, he's in the middle of everything, and Sanchez puts one away. By this time, are you getting moist?
Well, just going back before the second goal, I'd put here a 66th minute. Ozil, magnificent pass to Kolasinac. Kolasinac, it went out wide left, and Kolasinac almost didn't get them in time. I thought, oh, hello, something's afoot, something's going down. And but that for us, our third goal, I've put 69th minute, defender headed. Now, whoever that defender was, they come running out to maybe halfway between the penalty area and the halfway line, and they nodded that all the way back down the pitch. And I thought that is a superb bit of interception. So I put defender-headed interception, Ramsel, Erzi, Sanchez. And another really important thing about that was Giroud took at least one, possibly two of the defenders with him. And that's the kind of thing that you're going to get from Giroud that you're not going to get from any other player playing up front for us, whether it's Lacazette or Welbeck or any of those people. And that just shows that I was worried that Giroud isn't really getting many minutes at the moment. He's not playing many games. He's definitely not scoring any goals. And I thought, could this be the downward slope of Giroud? And this wouldn't be a great way to end his career. But this game, that comeback to get all these goals and that performance by Giroud tonight shows that, yes, he's still got it. And yes, he can still do it. And that was fantastic. I mean, I can see it in slow motion, the way that the defenders go, oh, there's a cross coming in, right? Everyone on Giroud. And Giroud's gone, is what they do.
What is that? When did Giroud turn Mexican?
I am Giroud. It was a thing. Oh, God. That's the kind of shit I do on FIFA all day long on amateur level.
Well, I got to be honest, Sue. It was...
people
give me a second.
Oh.
Oh, no, no. Alonso Spencer's in the house. Gunner Boy is in there. Ryan Cost. Now, Ryan Cost, please don't ask us. We do not want a bag of those things. It's okay. We really don't want them. You're fine, mate. Top man. Dan.
Yes, Ryan. No, that's the Goonies in the USA. It was sponsored by them, and a wonderful podcast that it is.
Yeah, exactly. But they can keep them. Okay. Yeah. Then we had the fourth not long later. I mean, the goals are coming thick and fast at this point. Our precision was back. The passing just went up two steps. And all of a sudden, every ball was finding somebody. We had a really good through ball from Ramsey. Ozil ran onto it. And an area where I've been really critical of him, because he's a better player than he's shown us in the past in front of goal. You know, he's got the skills to be able to finish, but he made no mistake, did he?
No, not at all. And like, I think you're fair to criticise him, because he has had chances like that gone astray before. But it was just another good through ball from Rams that sort of played between the centre halves there, and a good run from Ozil had also just made previously a good run for the goal before he set up Giroud. So Ozil was on it. He literally just had this sort of second, I think 10 minutes was it between those three goals, where he's obviously come up with the assist for Giroud, and then the assist for Sanchez, and then obviously he's got an assist from Ramsey. So it was a good 10-minute spell from Ozil there. And like I said, Ramsey, he's got that in his locker. Like I think I was looking through some stats before we came on at like the sort of most assists. I think Ozil's got 5 and Ramsey's got 5, and Ramsey's also popped up for 3 goals, and Ozil's popped up for 2 goals. There's a lot of sort of sharing there between the goals and the assists between the sort of our midfielders there. And it's good to see. It's a good thing, because we know that we're not relying overly on one player. Like I think we've been criticised before of relying too heavily on Alexis Sanchez, but everyone really seems to be chipping in with the goals and the assists so far at the moment, at this point in the season. So it was good to see. And like I said, it was a great run and a great spot from Ramsey to find Ozil, and a good finish when he has been a bit lacklustre before. Like, he'll probably go into the next game and miss a similar chance, but then you know he's got the quality there to put it away on another day. So it was one of those days where things were just working out well for Ozil.
Yeah, I got to be honest here. You know, I thought at this point, I mean, everybody's been, Gabriel Hoffman's just in there doing, yeah, Gunners, yeah, I like that. Everybody's raving about Ozil, and rightfully so tonight. It, you know, he just grabbed the game by the scruff of the neck, but you know, everybody came together at that point, and all of a sudden, Xhaka's passing is crisp, Ramsey's passing is crisp, whereas earlier on, they'd been sloppy. You know, they'd been really sloppy, and they'd let themselves down for a chunk of that game. But all of a sudden, bang, they were on it, you know. And it was fantastic to see. It really was enjoyable, you know. I was happy for them, because they've come through a difficult game on Sunday. They've come out the other end and they've done the business. Matthew Hudson's leaving us. Take care, Matthew. All the best, pal. They've come through a tough game, and it would have been criminal for them to let themselves down tonight. Dan, let's go to the
on Real next. 75th minute. No. He went full FIFA Bergkamp from left back, decided to run the length of the pitch and then take on about half their team. Oh, that was a thing.
I tell you what, Dan, we're so full up of goals here. I wasn't going to, but tell you what, before you do that, actually, guys, everything in the chat box, as always, thank you very much for your support. After the trolls on Sunday, we've had a magnificent chat box tonight. It's absolutely superb. If you could give us a thumbs up or a thumbs down, we'd really, really appreciate it. Go nuts, but do something if you could, please, guys. All the guys give up the time for nothing. If you could, we would really, really appreciate it.
I scoop all the profits and invest them in the Cayman Islands.
Nice, well done. But talk to me about Nacho Monreal.
Oh, funny you should mention that. Yes, as we all know, he was playing left centre back, come left winger, and he decided in the 75th minute to get the number 10 on his back and then get his rocket boots on and go full Bergkamp. We never want to see a defender go full Bergkamp, but when he did, wow, that was magnificent. You can tell the team is full of confidence, because when he goes and does something like that, and he was running past and he went past the halfway line, then he carried on going to like the edge of their penalty area and he went, fuck it, I might as well have a go. And he went around about three or four of their players and almost had a shot. I mean, had a shot and it almost went in. I thought, oh, that's wonderful. Now, then he had to be stretchered back to left back because he was fucked. But it's, it was a very, very nice thing to see. And it's good to see that he's he can do that at his age in the 75th minute. But when you're 4-0 up, I think things like that are allowable. Have a little bit of flair, have a little bit of fun. And if he would have scored it, that would have been goal of the season. Wouldn't it? Has he muted himself?
I think he may have.
Oh, Jason.
Sorry. Yeah, I did mute myself.
Were you having a little giggle to yourself, or had your nuts gone fizzy again? And you're giggling.
Sorry, I'm just replying to somebody.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, no, it was great to see that. It was fantastic to see that. You know, I got a particular soft spot for Nacho. I think he's been a great acquisition by the club. He's been superb, and you know, to see him get goals, it makes me smile. Unfortunately, he was unlucky on this occasion, but you know, you can't fault the ambition. Dan, I'm going to stick with you on this. So we're kind of sharing the goals out. The villain of the piece, the git, the guy who cost me maximum points on predictions. Right.
You can't even talk about it, can you? That's got 3 points.
They were hurt, Blizzard.
I'm devastated by this.
No one else bothers to do it. Dom said today, damn, Bellwood, mate, giving up. Last year's champion can't even be bloody bothered.
Yeah, well, he knows he's on a loser this year, but there you go. Oliver Giroud, magnificent bit of skill from Kolasinac, and Oli, dead eye, no messing about, steals it off his foot and smashes it in. Go on.
Well, that was the 86th minute. I put big scramble, ball all over the shop like a game of pinball, and Kolasinac did all the hard work. Now, he'd a couple of times during the game, he'd done a couple of bad things, or not bad things, but little things that you think you're overstretching yourself there, son. You're meant to be playing left wing back. He did all the hard work, and Ollie went, I'll have a slice of that. Tipped it in, lovely. It's great to see Ollie have a brilliant game performance-wise, and have a brilliant game with it's 2 goals he scored, isn't it? Was it one?
Two goals.
I've got to say hello to Carl. He's the bloke who hosts our website, and he's just done some work on our website. And he said he sent me a text saying he's watching and he loves my he says we're talking about cricket. Hello, Carl. Thanks for hosting the website all these years. You're very good.
You star, Carl. Thank you very much, buddy. So, all Ellis, your thoughts of the goal?
Yeah, I thought I wasn't. Sounds bad. I'd sort of stopped paying attention really when the fourth one had gone in, and I was just watching a bit on the on one of my streams. It was a bit dodgy. Didn't really see what came on. Was it Jack Wilshere who eventually flicked up to like Colasin actually won it, and then done about 3 plays, and then Jude was like, "I'm having that," and just poked it away.
It was just nice to see somebody just grabbing it, you know. I mean, I thought, you know, you look at the first half, Lacazette worked really hard. We were off with our passing a lot of the time, and so he didn't get the benefit. Ollie's gone on and taken his chance.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to see.
And I think he's gone for a little period, sort of I would say a bad patch, because you think when the sort of teams he's playing about, playing with, he's been playing with some of the youngsters, mix and match sort of team, so it's hard. So I think it does help him when he does get put in the squad with the likes of Ozil when he's playing like he is, and Sanchez, and when Ramsey and Xhaka start to click, then I think he deserves to be in there, and he will score goals, because he is a quality player at the end of the day. I'm happy now that we've got someone in the shape of Lacazette who we can rely on, and then perhaps use Giroud as what I think he always should have been, which was sort of a plan B or a good option if we needed to. I think that's taken some of the pressure off Giroud for when he does go for these sort of bad patches. But I don't think you can criticise Giroud in his time at Arsenal. Whatever happens, wherever he may go after this, I think he's gone far beyond what his price tag was when we originally got him in.
Didn't
I love
come
the man.
To replace Van Persie?
It was him and Poldy, wasn't it? They sort of brought both of them together to see if we could replace the goals, and it didn't quite work out. But okay, I think regardless, Giroud's been a massive success at Arsenal. I think he'll think that too.
I still miss Poldy. I still miss him. Right, the chat box. That was about it.
You mentioned the league table that we are.
No. We'll mention the league table in a bit. Okay. Don't. You know.
No. Build it up nicely. Get on with it.
Build it up nicely. If you've got any questions, put them in the chat box. We've got a few already. Dan, we saw important minutes for Jack Wilshere and Danny Welbeck. Good to see those guys getting some minutes.
That's the important thing. And they both looked, I mean, that was a note that I made in when they came on in the 73rd minute. I said they both looked straight away, straight up for it. And Jack was getting really stuck in running around. And I wasn't sure whether they were going to swap the dual 10 role or whether they were, well, and one of them was going to drop back into midfield. And I think Wilshere did drop back into midfield a little bit. But then I think once you get to 3-4, 5-0 up, then everyone can do. I wouldn't be surprised if Cech had a shot at goal with. Because it's wonderful to see Jack coming back, and everyone has been on his back. So, no, he's never going to do it again. I'm just getting worried that I'd love to see Jack sign a new contract. Now, he's on 85 grand a week, allegedly, give or take. And a couple of years ago, we'd have said, no, he's not having a new contract, not at 85 grand a week. But now you look at 85 grand a week compared to what some of the other players are getting, and you could easily go, yeah, we'll give you a 1-year rolling contract. Leave it on 85 grand a week. But I get the feeling that he might be going elsewhere. But he's an Arsenal fan and one of my favourite players at the club. The only thing he should do is give out that 10 shirt and give it to Ozil. Then Ozil might stay as well. But it just seems that everybody seems to be ticking at the right time. And I don't know whether that gives me confidence for the Man United game or whether it gives me overconfidence for a Man United game, which is going to end in tears. And Welbeck was brilliant. And he was quick. He was fast. He hasn't lost any speed, which is great to see for Saturday.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Right. Bear with me a second. I just missed somebody there. Srinath Murali, get your question in, Sam. Get your question in. We've got questions now, guys, because it was, you know, it was basically a 15-minute game. You know, lots of sloppiness and... lots of sloppiness and then some precision passing, which led to lots of goals. I thought it was a really decent performance, an important three points, and five goals to, you know, to bump up our goal difference. And other results as well made an impact on the table. Funny that, isn't it? The power shift. Oh, it's struggling at the moment. The power shift, I mean... you know, my heart bleeds. No, it doesn't. Screw them and screw them hard. Tough. We got a point from Jim Howson. Can we all get behind Garvey Shewars? He has to start selling a lot of stock. He's been threatened by court by the Arsenal.
Not allowed to sell the stuff that he's got until the 5th of December to get rid of all of his stock with the 30s crest on it. Now, I always thought, because Gav's our mate, I talk to him every now and then on WhatsApp, or he gives me a ring, and I always thought that the reason he was partly allowed to use that is because nobody owned the copyright on something like that. So right. I should message him and find out why they've done it and how they've managed to get around it. But I don't know. I reckon they've got very expensive lawyers that have found a loophole, which means they can maybe try and claim it as theirs, whereas Gav will just go, I'll go around there and go full strutter on you. And
do you know what annoys me, okay? You know, we don't use the word Arsenal apart from we're an Arsenal podcast. There are other people who make money at the club who are allowed by the club to do it. And, you know, and Gav, you know, I mean, you know, Gav can be controversial, yes, okay? But Gav's a good guy. You know, go on the She War website, guys. He sells lots of quality stock, he does. There's some really different merchandise other than from what the club offer. You know, guys, if you like it, get on there and buy it, okay?
Get stuff made that we want, not just shit with the Arsenal thing stamped on it that you're going to get for Christmas that you don't want. He's got like those line of mugs that he's been doing in the old Blues banana kit with Roe Castle and Adams and all that line. They're fantastic. Yeah, but
he genuinely thinks about what, you know, as he's a fan, the same as ourselves, he genuinely thinks about what we'd want. So that's the nice part. So please, guys, you know, I know we're asking you to support Mark and a runner and Gav, but do you know what? We're an Arsenal podcast and we support our own. So there you go. Okay. Right. Okay, Ellis. Let's come to you for this. Stephen Edwards asks, Do you know if Kolasinac, which was an acquisition through the stats company, hadn't heard of him prior to now, don't like the idea of him out the side anymore? Go on.
To be honest, no, I don't know if he was purchased through the stats DNA company, but he was in the sort of, it was in the Germany Bundesliga team of the year, wasn't he? So I'd like to think that perhaps we may be looking at him regardless of what stats he had, because he had a good season there. I'm not sure, to be honest. Possibly, because he was out of contract, so maybe he sort of went under the radar, and because of that fact was because we had the stats DNA going on there. I'm not sure if that's something that is from our signings recently, if it's just a bit of both, really, a bit of scout and a bit of stats DNA. Maybe they look at both. I'd like to think they look at both and not just focus on the stats DNA, because I think it does come down to just sort of scout's judgment. But regardless of how he was signed, I think what a signing to get him on free and to only really be paying his wages and the way he's sort of come into the team. And I completely agree with him, though. I wouldn't like to see him not in the squad at the moment. If he wasn't left wing back and we had to put Monreal up there, I'd rather see Monreal playing sort of as that left centre back, and definitely have Kolasinac on the left wing back, because he's such a beast, and he gets forward, he contributes to goals as well. And like I said, he has been a bit quiet recently, but he still contributed, and it looks like a quality signing to me, to be honest.
Yeah, I totally agree. Right, there's a big shout out to you. Akash Guha, we are live in Delhi, so it's a shout out to the Delhi Gunas and Akash Guha. You're a top man. Thank you for the support. We really appreciate it. You know, we love this. This is the bit I really enjoy. I really enjoy this about this summer. Oh, No Limit Stunners in the box. Way.
When he says he's live from Delhi, is he inside Delhi Belly Alley?
No. Nobody's in Divey Belly Alley. Divey Belly Alley.
If that was the place for a Guna to be.
No. Nobody wants that. But it's a big shout out. He's very enthusiastic there. We like that a lot. Akib will get your question in a bit, pal. Right. Okay. The Long Blake Road asks, sorry if it's been discussed, but what's the usual layoff time on a groin injury? I believe Dom has answered it in that question. I'll take
this. We didn't answer it to every, unless Dom's going to be okay.
You know, it's all down to the severity of it. You know, even if he's got a niggle there, you don't really want to aggravate it, do you? So they've got to be very careful. A lot of people give the Arsenal medical team a lot of stick. We seem to be getting better. And, you know, they'll take care of the player. He's a £50 million investment. So they will take care of him. Danny, yes. Akib alias, friend of the pod, asks.
Got his books to be right. Actually, look at this. You're watching, people. I'm going to put the backs of it up. That is the three address things for Bergkamp. No, the Tony Adams signed book.
Don't, you got, put them down. You've got data protection, you tits.
No,
put
it's back down. The front.
I'm going to find Akib.
No, you can't see, no, because Akib gave us some of his old books as well. So we've got to give those away as well. But the three one of those books, Danny, I'm posting Danny, this week. What?
Danny, just answer the bloody question.
No, I won't answer the question. But what is it?
Has Sam's time come to retire?
Well, from what little I know, I'd say he looks fucked. If they say he'll be lucky, he should be grateful that he's walking around with his kids again. Then if they're saying that, and plus he's had another infection, apparently. I saw that on Twitter, so it could be absolute bullshit. But I don't think we're going to see him again, are we? Because you don't need to. That part, I think Dom was saying, that part of the ankle has got such low blood flow going through it, which is why it was so hard and difficult for it to heal. I mean, I could be wrong. I could have misheard Dom's whiny accent. Sometimes it's hard to work out what he's going on about.
But well, funny enough,
he wouldn't want to go and manage to come back from nearly losing your foot to go back out and playing football, getting another injury and then going, well, now you're fucked again. No. It was lovely today that partway through the beginning of the second half, they were all singing the Santa Cthulhu song. And I thought that was a really nice touch. And our old blogger, Luke is premium. He was saying that it would be nice for every one of the games recently on the shirt number for Santi to start singing his name. And I think that got a bit of traction as well. That was a few weeks ago. But if they just did that for every game, what number is he? 18, is it?
I don't care about numbers.
19.
Oh, it's close. We'll start it at 18 and carry it on till 20.
So right, no, boys.
I don't think he's going to play again.
By the way, we were looking for a no swearing pod tonight, and the both of you have used foul language in the last two questions.
Did bad I swear? People.
Yes.
I didn't swear. What are you talking about?
You did. Off. I will end you. Dom Nusk puts in the box here now. The positive part of a groin strain is that he played the rest of the half, which is a good sign. I think he could even be back in 2 to 3 weeks. So that's a bit more meat in the bones than that. Right. Okay. Sorry, guys. I'm just picking up the last question here. Sorry, Leo. We're so slick. We're so professional. It takes us forever. Okay, K-Man Arsenal Forever asks, who am I coming to with this one?
Me, please.
Yeah, it's Ellis. Go on in. Do you gents have a favourite commentator? Mine is Martin Tyler.
Mine has to be Michael Owen. I think his summary of games is second to none.
And that's the end of that. Right, MSM25 asks Danny, funny how January is round the corner. Man United is linked to him. Ozil finally performs. Is he angling for a move? Thoughts? Ooh, controversial.
Is Ozil manoeuvring for a move? I honestly think that a lot of it has got to do with the support he gets from the crowd, because lately for the Spurs game, everyone is now going, hey, Ozil is now the greatest player in our team. And I think that kind of support, that kind of positivity towards a player can only do good. So if he has a bit of a bad game, just be nice to him. Everyone will say that Ozil is one of the best players to play for the club, one of the most skillful and influential players to play for the club in a long, long time. But it's because sometimes when you're that skillful, you can't do it every single game. And sometimes it does look like he can't be bothered. But he has shown against Spurs, and he's shown again against tonight, against Huddersfield tonight, what he can do. But then we saw against the Burnley game, he didn't turn up and went, oh, he's a bloody chance or any. Oh, lightweight. Oh, he's a scumbag. Get him out, and took the piss out of him. Well, he does look like a kind of bloke who might have a little cry over something like that. He's not going to be like Jack Wilshere and say, I don't give a fuck what you say. I'm Jack and I'm brilliant. So, To be fair,
I think, you know, the form of the team plays a part in that. And when he's played badly as well, he's had a lot of friends in that. So, yeah, there you go. Ellis, the Walrus and the Hedgehog asks, was it good for Arsenal that Lukaku did not get suspended for the karate kick? And was that the bitch move of the season?
I don't know how he's not been suspended for that. I don't see how like three referees can come to the conclusion that he's definitely not kicked out. Like, but anyway, that's besides the point.
I think it had to be all three of them agreed and only two of them agreed. They couldn't get the all three of it.
Well, what's the third one fucking doing with his life? Then what does he think he's doing? Trying to do the fucking can-can? That's what I mean. I know it's
a pair of you.
Oh yeah, my bad.
I didn't swear.
No swearing podcast.
I'll edit it all out. Sorry, later, don't worry.
It's now. Shut it. I know what you're thinking.
Go on.
What was I saying? Stop it.
I can't remember.
It depends on how you view Lukaku. Like, he's gone for a sort of a poor run of form lately. He hasn't scored that many goals, and he had a couple of sort of glaring misses in that game as well, which is maybe why he kicked out at the other player, because he was frustrated. So in that sort of terms of it, you can think, yeah, it's a good thing. But in the terms of the way Mourinho is probably going to set up against Arsenal, it doesn't really matter. They're probably going to be quite intensive and try and nick a goal anyway. So regardless, I don't think it matters either way.
Okay, fine. Greg, you're a G with a green background. Do I remember you? I'm not sure, pal. I'm sure I do. But I can just see Greg with
it. Old Greg.
It's Greg. Good name, Greg. I know a lot of good Gregs. Right, K-Man Arsenal Forever asks Danny, is it me or does Jack look fit and make some nice touches? He's close. What do you think?
He is looking magnificent, and he's getting more and more minutes. I don't like to say under his belt, because I don't know where you put your minutes. I think the minutes just evaporate into the fabric of space and time. But it's just wonderful to see him playing, and I really hope that it's going to be sooner rather than later that he's going to get the chance to start a Premier League game. And then maybe even get an assist. But I'm just looking at his complete performance data just to see how many minutes that he's played. He's played 23. I don't know how many he played today.
It's about 23.
Yeah, and he played 23 the last game. He didn't play against Spurs, 12 against Man City. Then he was on the bench, 13 against Everton. And plus he's played in a few games in the League Cup. He will be playing in the next round of the League Cup. Who are we playing?
I can't remember.
Terrible, isn't it? We can't remember.
West Ham.
Is it West Ham?
It is West Ham.
Well, Jack to score 10 against West Ham then, because they are rubbish. I did that for you, Jace. Yeah, Jack is one of my favourite players. He would slip right back into the George Graham era of 87 to the early 90s of that kind of Arsenal player where they were Arsenal fans. They loved the club and they've always got time for the fans. And he's just a wonderful player to see. And I think he's the last of a dying generation of players that really are. They play for the club they supported as a kid. I mean, Harry Kane might come and play for us because he supported us as a kid, but I doubt it.
Are you going to cop into the shit out of everything?
Yes, I'm happy.
Jason did a swear word.
Oh, damn, I did as well. Sorry. That's a shocker, isn't it? Right, okay. Ellis, Ishmael Alexander Rose Thompson asks, is the ghost of Christmas past, as in Danny Welbeck, coming back to haunt Man United on Saturday with Lacazette out?
I bloody hope so. He's just got a knack, haven't he, of scoring against Man United, and it's just nice, obviously, for them to sort of get rid of him. I think it was Louis van Gaal that sanctioned him going off to Arsenal. He's obviously scored that one in the FA Cup. He's also scored against them as well in the league. And yeah, it'd just be nice. I think it'd be nice from Welbeck's point of view, and obviously nice from an Arsenal fan's point of view for him to score. And hopefully, fingers crossed, he does.
Yeah, it would be nice, and it would be ironic, wouldn't it? It really would. It'd be lovely. Akash Guha asks, with Per leaving, are we going to buy a new centre-back or promote Chambers or Holding? I'll answer this one.
Go on then. So you don't know.
I think they will buy a new centre-back because you've got Koscielny coming towards the end of his career as well. You know, the tendonitis he suffers from. And he just catching up with him. Though you wouldn't know that the last couple of weeks. He's come back to his best after I think he's been on a bit of a roller coaster recently, but he's back to his best at the moment. And with Mustafi in there and Monreal, they've become a really solid unit. Now they have to back that up against United. I think they will buy a new centre back, but I also hope that they do develop Chambers and Holding. You know, I don't care about English football, right, or the national team. I don't. I'm Welsh. I just couldn't give a monkeys. But it would be good for this club to develop two young English centre-backs who have got real talent. You know, make no mistakes about it. They're still youngsters. They need game time and they need to settle in. It's been disappointing. Chambers has been injured this season. You know, he's caught pelters for his game at right-back in the Europa League the other day. Well, it's his first game back for quite a long time. And we're giving him pelters in a position which he hasn't played for. I know he's played right back, but right wing back's a different kettle of fish. You've got to give them time, you know. Last year, everybody's, what's the song? Is it Rob Holding? You know he's better than Cannavaro. Well, that was the biggest load of nonsense I've ever heard in my life. Yeah, no pressure, guy, you know. And then he suffered this season. Well, you know, the young guys, you know, they've got to be not eased into it, but they've got to be blooded properly. And it would be good to see these guys developed properly and to go on to become, you know, big parts of our future. Danny, Srinath Muralioni asks, important question for you for the future. Would you guys have as captain once Pair, Cos, Check and Nacho move on? Don't include Jack and Rambo due to the contract situation. Would you go for?
Mustafi, because I said earlier in the show that the way he was shouting and pointing and letting Check know what to do, I thought that bloke's got captain written all the way through him like a bit of Blackpool Rock.
He's a great communicator, isn't he? Really good communicator, leads by example, and he's playing well. But, you know.
Yes.
I think he's gotten the grips of the English game. I know everybody slagged him off last season, but a big part of that was due to the team playing badly as well. You know, we everybody took a dip together, didn't they? You know, and I think that's a really good answer, Dan. Well done.
Well done, Dan.
Well done, Dan.
Get on with it.
Final question of the night. The walrus and the hedgehog.
No, I'm after gonna, tonight, no, we shouldn't shoot more.
I want everybody's opinion on this, okay? With the backroom signing, a sign that Wenger is out if he doesn't challenge for the Premier League. Ellis, you first.
I don't know. I think the signings that we've made to the back staff, I think it's more of a change or preparation for when Wenger does leave. I don't think it's a case of if he doesn't show this season that he's going to not challenge for the Premier League, he'll be gone. I just think this will perhaps be a sort of his last contract, and this is just preparing for Wenger leaving. It's all sort of hearsay, and how people say he's a bit sort of restricted and he doesn't like having people telling him what to do. No one really knows what goes on behind the scenes except from Arsenal. Arsenal's a club that keeps it all behind the scenes. But maybe it's a slight change in ways in Wenger, or for me personally, I think it is probably just Arsenal starting to prepare for life after him, and I think this will be his final contract, regardless of how he performs this season in the Premier League.
Okay, Dan, your opinion?
What's the gist of the question? Is are they going to expect Wenger to win the challenge for the Premier League and with all these new people?
With these backroom signings, with the guy from Barcelona and the boy from Dortmund.
Yeah, the bloke is definitely not director of football.
Okay. But the point is, does this mean that Wenger's got a chance for the title or he's out?
No, because I don't think any owner, even one who has so little to do with football as our owner, is going to expect anybody to challenge Man City when Man City have got more money, more solicitors, more fingers in more pies than any other team in the history of football, other than maybe Barcelona and Real Madrid. They are, in my own opinion, as corrupt as hell, and they are going to keep getting away with it. And there's no point throwing hundreds of millions of pounds trying to compete with them, because they'll just go, oh, we'll double it. Oh, we'll double it. No, we'll double it again. Or we'll try. It's like when you see these auctions going for old masterpieces, and then someone goes 100 million, 110, like 500 million. You think, well, we might as well just all go home, just cancel the Premier League for the next 10 seasons, because that's all they want it for. And then you've also seen the other version of that is with Man United, where they are spending an absolute humongous amount of money, not only on transfers, but on wages. And they're even paying some of Rooney's wages still. Because he was on like 300 grand a week, and there's no way ever to pay that. You could buy the club for that amount of money. And so that's the two versions of spending money and getting success, and spending money and chucking it after someone else trying to catch up with them. You're never going to do it. I think we're going to be more like the way Chelsea are doing it, and spending money just to do well in other competitions. Because there's got to be an end to the Man City thing, hasn't it? It can't go on forever.
Wait and see, pal. I genuinely think it's just a sign that we're paving the way for Arsene's exit. I think this will be his last contract. I think, you know, after next season, he's done. And they're putting the pieces in place they need to continue a smooth transition for whoever's next in.
Okay, we're giving his address away. Well, one, you weren't one of the winners, dear boy. And the other one, I held it up back to front, three of them on top of each other. So even if you got Hal onto that, then Hal would struggle to figure it out.
Okay, we're going to ask one last question, and we're all going to answer this. LSU first, from Rudy Rastlos. Giroud or Welbeck against United?
Welbeck for me. Like, I know Giroud scored two goals, but I think Welbeck's more sort of more mobile, and it should be nice to see him score against Man United, and we could always bring Giroud off the bench. You know what he's like. He's got a good record coming off the bench. So for me, I'd go for Welbeck to start.
Danny?
Exactly the same. Welbeck to run them ragged for an hour, then Giroud to come up and slot in behind their centre-backs and run them ragged and nod a couple in.
Okay, I'd go for Giroud, actually.
Of course, he would.
Well, no, he's look, he's got a better than goal scoring record than Welbeck. And I think Welbeck coming on as their defence tyres could be more effective. But, you know, who knows? It's, you know, whichever one they go for, we've got to perform as a team. That is it for tonight, guys. Thank you ever so much for being part of it in the chat box. You've been superb. I just want to go over a couple more things. Yeah. If you want Arsenal merchandise, which is a bit different, go to SheWo. If you've got a couple of a quid spare and you want to support a really good cause, and this is children, you know, with failing eyesight, etc., Mark Gunner Runner on Twitter. Going to him. And in the week which marks the 6th anniversary of Gary Speed taking his own life, if you've got problems, guys, whether you're male, female, whether you like football or don't like football, whether you're an Arsenal fan or not, talk to somebody. Don't let it get to you. You know, do the right thing. Get it out in the open and get some help. It's really not worth it. That's all stuff we'd say is, guys, there's a thumbs up or a thumbs down button there. Give us one. Go on. Be brilliant. Ellis, thank you.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure as always.
Top man. Nice to see you here and not on the beer. Danny, thank you ever so much as always. You're a star.
Nanu, nanu.
Cheeky monkeys. And let's hope we smash United on Saturday. Let's hope we really put them to the sword and get another 3 points and show everybody a power shift is a little bit difficult. You know what I mean? Danny, switch this thing off. Good night, everyone. Thank you ever so much. You know, you're all brilliant, and we really, really do appreciate it.